Hey everyone, welcome to the Wit Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. And with me most of the times is my co-host, Christina Gibson. This show is focused on SharePoint and Office 365, where we share news and our own experiences from working with this daily. And we believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Welcome to episode 29 of Wit Girls podcast. It's the 20th of November, and me and my beautiful co-host Christina sit here by the bar.
Yeah.
In a nice hotel in Sweden, in Stockholm.
We're actually in the creative corner.
We are.
On the creative corner. Ice bar, where you can work, play, and relax.
Yay!
And now we are playing.
Yes! Yeah. And also working a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, I just want to start by giving our listeners some love, because we have listeners all over the world.
It's fantastic.
I checked the map, and it's like from Canada to New Zealand to Iceland to Japan to South Africa. It's amazing. So we just want to say hey, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you for the feedback we got. We love to hear from you. And let's start this show today.
Yeah.
So first off, how are you, Christina, and what are you up to?
I'm fine. I've been relaxing with you, actually. We've been in my summer house. We went to the Studio 54 talking about relaxation and off-work duties. We went to the Studio 54 party. And you got to see Laholm and Melbystrand and the surroundings around there. We had a glittering party together, I would say.
I can say it's in the west coast of Sweden by the sea. It's beautiful. And met all your friends there.
Yeah.
We had a great Halloween. It was for Halloween.
Yeah, it was for Halloween. And we have all dressed up.
Yeah. We have a movie of it on our Instagram at WitGirlsPod if you want to see the synchronized dance moves we made.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
So, Christina, I heard, before we start the show, I listened to the IntroZone podcast, and they were talking about this Microsoft for Education project in Stockholm, and I know that you are involved in that. That's your team they were talking about. Yay!
Yay! Yeah, I'm so proud of being a part of that team.
Of course!
Yeah, I've been working within the education tenant for this company for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have talked about it some in the podcast.
Yeah.
But what were they like talking? Why were they mentioning this? Is it because it is special when it's Microsoft Teams for education? I can imagine it's a bit different setup.
Yeah, it's a large Teams installation, Office 365 installation.
Large amount of users.
Large amount of users. Mm. We have used as much as we can of the out-of-the-box functionality, and also when needed we developed SharePoint framework with web parts to support features that's needed for the school, like calendar roll-ups and notifications from other systems together with Office 365 systems, and also the integration with the parents portal, which is in an on-prem installation, SharePoint 2013 for the time being.
Yeah, cool. So what I understand from what you have been telling me is like the pupils, the students, they are in Teams working, but the parents are in an on-prem solution. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we are reading from the parents are reading from whoever their students are, and we are displaying it from in the parent side.
Yeah. Right. So you roll up things from like the Teams connected SharePoint sites up into their on-prem. So that's kind of a hybrid solution somehow.
Yeah. So we're building a start page in Office 365 and also a start page in the parents SharePoint on-prem installation.
Nice.
And also sort of each school has its own communication site where they can communicate from the school to the students with scheduling and exam calendars and news roll-ups.
And do each student have a private channel? Well, I don't mean private channel. I mean, do they have somehow that they can connect with the teacher without the other students
seeing? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. absolutely.
How is that set up then? I'm just curious.
I mean, it's a standard SharePoint and Office 365 in security, but also in education. You have the OneNote for Education class book,
right,
which is set up in sections for each student where they can communicate separately from the other ones within the class with the teacher. So they can have like assignments or talk discussions and writing stuff, and the teacher can read whatever the student has been written without the other students looking into the section in that particular notebook.
Kind of a private channel without being a private channel.
Yeah, true, true. In one notebook that we're struggling with.
Yeah.
And also we have assignments, and that's an extra feature within the education tenant.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Something you get with with that template.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So the main part for my project team is the start pages, rolling out stuff.
Yeah.
And also on the parent side, so the architecture, and trying to use whatever it's out of the box, and developing what's needed.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so fun to hear about it in the intro zone. I was like, wow, that's so cool. I was like, hey,
was
wait a minute.
Hiding my head behind the pillow. I was proud and jealous.
Proud.
Blushed a bit.
Humble, very humble.
So what about you, Lisa? You have this fantastic community contributor award, rolling out for you in ESPC.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was like, wait, what? It's the ESPC coming up. You and I are going. It's in 11 days. The European SharePoint Conference in Prague is coming up. And yeah, I got a message from them saying that congratulations, you're a finalist. And I was like, what? And the guys I'm competing against, I mean, I already see this as a win. I don't need to actually win it. Being a finalist is good enough for me. But it's always fun, you know. I've been blogging many years, so many years, and we've been doing the podcast. I'm quite active on social media, so
sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. That's how we live. Yeah. That's how we live. That's how we roll.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you and happy for you. And
thank you.
Honestly, you deserve it.
Thank you so much. And I feel like I'm already one, so it's like, for me, I don't need to win the big prize. It's just, I so look forward to European SharePoint Conference, and you and I are going to be community reporters.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what this means, but that will be interesting. And it's always fun with a challenge.
Yeah.
So this will be a challenge for us. And so many awesome sessions. I made my agenda the other day, what sessions I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
You know, this is hard. There's so many tracks at the same time that you want to visit.
Yeah, I know, because working in the area that we are working in, the spectrum is broad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both you and I, it's Teams, it's SharePoint, it's Power Apps, it's Power Automate. Power Automate. The new flow is Power Automate.
I was listening to the guy on the Office 365 Distilled.
Yeah.
And one of them had just ordered like a blog or some roll-up that was go with the flow.
I know,
but
it failed. No, it was go with the Power Automate, not as hot, maybe.
But I think it's
awesome. They are funny, those guys.
Yeah.
Other than that, you and I have been working with some dinosaur code lately.
Oh man, yeah. I was digging deep inside of myself with the great help of you to get this content query web part working.
Yeah.
Rolling up a blog post.
Yes.
Luckily, you have been written this post ages ago, actually.
I did,
still sort of, actually.
Current?
Yeah, definitely.
Or actually, you can follow it and it still works.
Yeah.
No, but the thing was this, Kristen. I was sitting at work. Someone said, hey, can we have a nicer roll up blog post? Because it's so boring. It's just like a title and a date. And I was like, wait a minute, I remember this discussion. I made something similar when I worked in Dubai for a customer.
Yeah.
No, when I was in-house actually in Dubai at the company there, at their intranet. And this was in 2013, I think. They wanted to have nice roll-ups of news. So I thought,
might not use the content query web part. So I made that with a picture behind it, and then likes and comments, title, and some, you know, ingress, you know, that short text. And that was actually a roller from a blog. And it looked very nice. So yeah, I wrote a blog post about it.
Yeah.
And then I totally forgot this. But when Office 365 came out and I saw the news and the social interaction, I was thinking, yay, good on them.
Yeah.
This is actually, because social interaction with news, I think, is really important. And then the other week, someone was asking me the same. And then, oh, it took me a while to get back to, what did I do now? So it's like a custom item style, XSLT sheet. There's like a custom CSS and this exported custom web part that's working together.
Yeah.
And when I had built that day and it looked really nice, I had a little small little thumbnail and all that stuff, I talked to you and you were like, I need to have a nice roll-up of blog posts. I'm like, what?
That's karma.
Yeah. And I mean, even if you haven't worked with something for a while, I feel it's in my backbone.
Yeah.
You know, I made like a SharePoint Config Wizard upgrade, update on a server, the old 2013 server. Yeah. I told them, guys, you need to get out of this. But okay, they have this, something was updated and I needed to run that Config Wizard. Of course it failed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm back in those swamps now. So, but you know, I solved it in just a few minutes. That's the experience, talking, and the memory comes back when you sit with it. And it wasn't boring.
No, because if you start walking in mud and you get to clear water, that's what it feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's getting there. It's getting there. I must tell this story because I tweeted the other day to Office support, and I want to tell you why. A customer of mine mailed me and said they had problems with OneDrive Admin Center.
Yeah.
So I looked into my tenant because they asked, do you have the same? And I looked into mine. Yes, I have the same. So I started troubleshooting a bit. And then I went into the message center in Office 365, checked the service reports, found nothing, no advisory, nothing like that. So I thought, there were some pages that wasn't loading. The indicator was just going, spinning and spinning. And then it said all of a sudden you need to sign in and out again.
Yeah.
And okay, I tried to go incognito. You know, you do your troubleshooting.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I went to Twitter and searched for OneDrive Admin Center. Nothing. So then I thought, I'll just tweet to at Office Support, that account. Are you following that on Twitter?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect,
you
should. And they answered me within minutes.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they are out there listening and they were, okay, what have you done to troubleshoot? Do you would like to report a ticket? But then I was busy in the evening, I couldn't do anything. But in the morning after, I went into the message center and there was in the history view that said there's been a problem with the caching thing in OneDrive Admin Center. So I guess they had looked into it, or it's just maybe a big delay into the messages sometimes.
Sometimes they discover messages, you know, like in a geographical area, and then it's transferred over to our geographical area.
Right.
Possibly.
Could be something
or
like that.
Maybe it's just a virtual agent.
Exactly.
But they are really quick.
Yeah. Maybe it's a bot you're talking to. I don't know. The Office Support bot.
Feel also special because they are answering something.
Yeah. Oh my god, we are so fooled by the bots. I have a Lisa bot and you have a Christina bot that's answering you. If you talk to us on Twitter, it's just our bots that's answering.
No,
it's like, hey, listen to the Wit Girls.
No more personal shopper. It's your virtual agent. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So, one other thing I've done is, you know, I've been talking about this so many podcasts. When do we get the change site URL?
Yeah.
And finally, when we went in the other week, there it was. So I had to try it immediately. And it's just really simple. You go into the SharePoint Admin Center, into Active Sites. That's our best place, right?
Yeah.
For us, SharePoint admins. I love that site.
Yeah.
Or I love that view. And you just select your site. Click on the information panel and there you go, edit site URL. The only thing I noticed is if you have a hub site, you need to unregister it as a hub site. Otherwise, it won't work. And obviously, otherwise, all the associated sites would like
get broken. You get the warning, right?
Yes, I got the warning, absolutely. Yeah. So I just unregister it, made the change, and then, boom, register it back, and everything was associated back. So you don't need to actually go in and associate back the
for
sites.
For every each site.
Yeah. It works automatically. But that was perfect. So, and we've had it, of course, on-prem since the start, so online is a bit slow, isn't it? The last thing I wanted to say when we're on the subject what's happened recently is I wrote a tweet about how great it is that the metadata is coming to the files tab.
Yeah.
And yay! At Microsoft Teams answered.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, what do you think is good with this and do you have a use case? So I thought, Twitter is too short to answer. So I will just say now what I think.
Yeah.
And all I want to say really is that I think that we should always be consistent how we work, no matter what app or platform you're using, maybe except OneDrive. OneDrive is your personal place where you can have folders. That's okay because you know how you've been thinking. But when we are sharing information, when we are like putting it into the places you know where there's going to be many people in there working, I think metadata is unbeatable. And not to say the least with Project Cortex coming up and so on, I think metadata
they
gets...
They were really clear on metadata.
They were. Yeah. Metadata is king. But, you know, it's like getting more and more important. And, I mean, you and I, and I bet all of us who's been working with SharePoint has always been striving to make people use metadata. So when that files tape came in Teams, when that was launched, and I saw that general folder, I was really disappointed. I was thinking, no. This is not the way, this is not the future way of working with files.
But I've been thinking about it because we've been discussing it.
And,
maybe that's a strategy from Microsoft. Like
to confuse us, you mean? The users,
no,
not us maybe.
No,
but
it's
the
like when you're selling drugs for free, I mean, or giving drugs for free. And then people
addicted.
Start using Teams like they are using file shares with folders. And then, well, now you're so tight into Teams. Now we're going to introduce metadata.
Maybe that's the theory. Now you're not getting any folders anymore. You're going to have to use metadata.
We're back on business. No,
maybe.
Just joking.
Let's have a cheers to that one. Good theory.
Metadata is key.
Just to answer them back, I just mean that my point is that me, and I think many with me, that are working with information architecture that we are working very hard to teach users how to work with metadata. And I can just say that yesterday I held a presentation for a customer explaining how metadata works, and I actually compared it to a shopping site online. Or Spotify, you know, where you have like a song, or you have a dress, or a car, I don't know. And then you have all these attributes around it. And that's like you have the same metadata around the document. And they were like, oh, this was so clear now.
Yeah.
So they could understand it. But you know, we are now 2019 and they're still working, struggling with understanding metadata. So it's not that it's been going fast or anything. But now the only thing I can think of that's going to be like a struggle with having metadata in files is the channels that you have, because the channels are all connected to folders.
Yeah.
And how they will solve that, where they solve it the same way they have done with private channels, that is, a private channel gets a site collection and not a folder with broken inheritance, thank God for that at least. But do you think it could be like... Because otherwise we can't get out of the folder swamp, really.
No, I'm struggling a bit about how you can convert an existing team with a folder structure to
a metadata.
A view, that it makes
like,
sense.
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise when you build a library with metadata, you've been sort of architecturing the document library and what's going to be in it. It's going to be content types. It's going to be... I mean, sales proposals and agreements, because they have the sort of the same sets of metadata, but in a team.
But it might vary. Absolutely, yeah. They have different
the channels
needs.
Channels are so different. So how can you put metadata on each folder in each folder to make sense? That is a bit of a struggle.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah. But from what I saw in the session, in that demo, they were having owner and review date, and you know the status. So when you upload your files, and we see a folder here, right?
Okay, naughty, naughty.
But they have actually put the files inside of this, and they have three metadata columns.
Yeah.
And these ones make sense, because those I think you can have in common.
Yeah, they are always.
They always, you know, valid for all the documents.
You're using an everyday example where a division has its team with their folder structure. They will absolutely think of folders in the same way that they would create it in their file share. So
absolutely.
It's like protocols. That's the top level of the folder.
Yeah,
and that's actually
presentation.
The channel name.
Yeah.
and then you have a folder which is 2019, and a folder which is 2018, and a folder which is, and for me that's a meeting date.
Yeah. Or a year. You can have also tagged as a year. Yeah.
Right. So.
Though it's hard, but I mean, I don't think you can transfer people's files directly from a file server into. You need to reconsider the design of it. You need to reconsider the information design, the information architecture, and that is a huge challenge. And we have a deadline now for a customer next year. They are closing down the file server, and I'm like inside myself, yay! But then I think about all these poor people that have these deep tree structures of the files. They just need to simplify it. And I always say, keep it simple. Start with one or two columns. When you upload files, you will get the feeling for it. So okay, now we need to have like maybe one more column. So I think to make people understand this, they need to work with it. And that's the same with Teams, maybe. We need to start working with this to see how is the effect of having metadata on the files tab.
Yeah, and also what I feel moving from file shares into Teams. I love that Microsoft should have metadata in Teams as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, you need to think about there is actually a full SharePoint site collection behind the team.
It is.
You're not stuck with just one library.
No.
Because that's when you can have the fast developing, folder-like, easy to use kind of tool. But still, if you don't talk about the SharePoint site behind the scenes, you will lose the benefits of the two working together. Because in that site, you can create more libraries. Which has that structure and show them in tabs.
Exactly.
In
Teams. Yes.
And that's when you make the most out of those two fantastic products working together.
Yeah, Teams itself doesn't store anything. No. Just to so Maybe everyone is clear on that. Yeah. Of course, there's a SharePoint site behind everything, the storing everything. And as you say, I also tell people that when they feel that this is overwhelming, I say, come on. We don't need to put everything in the same library. Why don't you split it into like different functionalities or different, you know, types of documents that you have? If you have extreme many, like, I don't know, instructions or routines or manuals, just create another library for that and have those metadata in there.
Yeah.
And then we can display it on a tab in Teams. That's not any problem.
With metadata or folders together.
Full rich experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Teams is just something holding the glue, holding everything together.
Yeah.
Okay, Christina. So when we were sitting in front of your fire in your wonderful, lovely summer house, Ignite was running at full.
Yeah, so we actually ignited my fireplace.
We ignited your fireplace. It was so cozy.
Yeah.
And we were jealous of you who were there, but we followed you closely.
Yeah.
That is the great thing with my Ignite site, which I will put a link to in the show notes, that you can go in and watch all the sessions on demand afterwards. That is luxury, I think. So I was actually binge watching Ignite sessions the other weekend. Did you see Jeff Tepper's SharePoint green t-shirt?
Did I see it? Yeah, I did actually.
Fantastic. At least one time she
yeah.
During Ignite, when I visited Twitter, I went in there, I felt so stressed out. When it was over, I felt like, finally, yeah. Calm has hit me again. And you know the FOMO feeling?
Yeah.
It's like, I want to know everything now.
I know.
And I didn't have time, but no.
But I think it's almost easier for us, being on the other side of the water, to keep track on what's happening, rather than to be there and having to rush around in all the sessions.
I heard that people have like really comfortable shoes there. Yes.
Not that I don't want to go. I think 2020 is going to be our year.
Do you think we're going to go to Ignite then?
That's Yay! Something to work for. Let's do
it. Yeah. Finally. I just want to go to the Fairpon conference in Vegas.
Maybe that's more us.
Mm-hmm. I also. Feel that's more me.
Yeah.
Totally. And more you. Yeah. Okay. But we were going to talk about some of the news. So they announced a lot of news this year. And before we dig into Project Cortex, which I think was the most boom.
Yeah.
What is that? Let's talk about some SharePoint news first.
Yeah,
because that's closest to our hearts. So home sites, they are now going GA. Do you know, Christina, I'm sitting every day now, opening SharePoint Online Management Shell, hitting that PowerShell command, set SPO imagine. Home site.
Yeah.
Nah, doesn't work. PowerShell says no. I'm too soon. It's like, this is an experimental feature and it's not been enabled yet. I'm like, when is it coming?
Do you have the new SharePoint home site?
The new SharePoint start page. Yes,
not
that's what it's called.
Not SharePoint home anymore.
No. But the thing is, okay, if we take it from the beginning, the home sites, we have talked about it in the podcast before, but it's the new homepage, that would be the SharePoint homepage, will be integrated with this new SharePoint start page, where they remove that left side menu. And we will also get the mega menu in the top of that.
And the branding.
Yeah. So they will fit together. And what I liked, okay, it might not been so beautiful, but what I like with the new SharePoint start page is that it matches now office.com.
Yeah.
They look similar.
With it. Search box and everything.
And the news. And a search box up at the top and everything. So
the
I think they're trying they're trying to merge everything together so that it should look consistent look and feel.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important. Consistent way of working, consistent look and feel. That would make people understand it more easy.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just confusing the users if it's one search book is here and one search book in another place.
If it confuses us, think about the users then.
Yeah.
No, that would be beautiful. And I also noticed when Mr. Tieper was inside a SharePoint site and he clicked up in the search box that people was drilling down.
Yeah.
I was like, yay! Yes, so now we have the full, and that is of course on the home site landing page because that is the full Office 365 search, extended search version. So that will be great, and the global search is beautiful, I think. God,
fantastic.
They have worked so.
Yeah, I was watching Bill Baer's session, I think it's something I really need to dig into.
It's, wow, the Office Graph, and our Project Cortex Knowledge Graph.
Yeah.
If I understood it right, I'm not really sure, but I think so. Let's talk about that later. Okay, so do you remember I did a site swap in PowerShell? I talked about it in a podcast.
Yeah.
I was watching someone who went into SharePoint Active Sites in the admin center, selected a site, and there was a button, Replay Site.
Yeah,
so you
that
can
was
do
so
it from
easy.
The UI. So easy.
Yeah, boom. That too. Yeah.
So get rid of those old classic root sites now and replace it with your new beautiful modern home site.
Yeah, and we discussed it, and you told me as well that all the links will follow. So whenever you have a document that is in the old site URL, and if you click it, you will be redirected to the new.
Oh, that was a change site URL thing I did. Yes.
Yeah.
That follows
but
really.
But also the swapping site? Or?
Oh, yeah. I didn't have any problems changing the URL. It works so beautifully. And Also, I want to say that with the change site URL, because what I did was remove, I had With Girls 2, and yeah. I changed it to With Girls only.
Yeah.
And when I had a With Girls 2 link in my mega menu, it still worked, it just redirected me.
Yeah.
And I even tried a document, like a longer path.
Yeah,
and it still redirects me to the correct content. So, good work there.
All navigations, everything yes. will work beautifully.
Yes, yeah, yes, fantastic. I don't know what happens though if you would start a new site with that old URL that I was changing. What happens then if I let's say create a new site called With Girls 2? Yeah, so I mean they have done a good work with both the site swap and change site URL. All right, so let's move on to something that's really interesting, hub sites.
Yeah, and Hubify and HubJoin.
Yeah. HubJoin, yeah. Hub Associate. Yeah. 1.5 years ago, I had a customer that I was building a new SharePoint Online intranet for, and I had a workshop with them. I was listening in on what they want, and when I had heard the story and what they needed, I just went to the whiteboard and I drew up these four hub sites with associated sites beneath them, because I felt like they had a need for four hub sites, because they had quite many sites associated that they wanted to have associated, so they were rolling up content on those four hubs. And then I said to them, okay, we can't associate hub sites now.
No.
But now you can, yay!
Yeah, that's fantastic, because if you're a larger company, to have like a couple of hub sites will not be enough.
No.
To at the top level, because you will have many hubs which will be connected to a hub, because that's the way you work. I mean, HR, language hubs, news roll-ups, which is necessary, and that would actually bring us into the other new stuff, which is language support.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting.
Exciting.
Very nice feature.
Not Swedish yet.
No.
I think. but I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
At least the main languages, like
Spanish and Chinese. And
the news will roll up, and language support and search will definitely will be a part of it, and also that you can decide nowadays if you can inherit the permissions or not.
That's cool.
And then you can change it whenever you want to in the UI. I think that's fantastic.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So you have these new on-site permissions, you have this site, or you can choose the hub. So if you have a site that's associated, you can choose to have your own site permissions, or you can choose to inherit from the hub. That would be great.
But it emphasizes also on the importance of educating the site collection owners.
Mm. It is.
Because now you get a site collection if you're an owner of a team, if you're an owner of a communication site, and if you don't have proper governance and training of the users, they will not have a clue what's going on behind the scenes. I think that is a really, really important task for us.
That's correct. That's true. And also one thing I was thinking about when it comes to hub associations, because when I set up the solution this 1.5 year ago with those different hub sites, I had to manually add that mega menu links on each hub, because I wanted to have this big mega menu experience, you know. Mm-hmm. But now, I guess that's coming also, so when you associate a hub to another hub, you will have a common shared navigation.
You have the option.
Yes. So, because I noticed in a session that they went in and in that top navigation bar, you know, where you add the links, you can add a URL or a header. You could choose to import a hub and its associated site. So boom, it was just there.
Yeah.
And then, not to say the least, the audience targeted things in the mega menu.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's also something we've had in on-prem all the time.
Yeah.
We're missing that a lot, and we haven't talking about it. It's better than the security permissions. Yes. Can I just say one thing around audience targeting? It's really nice to have it in the mega menu. We have it in the highlighted content web part.
Yeah.
And also in the news, of course. And document libraries. Yes.
If you turn it on.
Yes, exactly. But I would like to have it for all the web parts.
Yeah.
Especially for like events or links that you could control who should see what links. And I'm thinking more like maybe regional interests. So, if they are sitting in different cities or different countries, they would like to have different links on the front page. That would be nice to control with the audience, I think.
Yeah.
We have the possibility with the on-prem.
Or you need to build a custom web part where you have that option for the user to sort of select links that are great for their navigation.
Mm.
I mean, because it's actually a link that takes you onwards to another system or another page or...
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that would be great as well in the,
for the,
in the web,
you know,
part as well.
Yeah. Exactly, that would be cool.
How many web parts can you put on a page?
I don't know, before it gets like really slow. Depends on how many audiences you have, maybe. Yeah. We have so many news, but we have afraid a little time today, and it's getting really noisy in here. So I'm just gonna skip all the things we tried to talk about and just focus on Project Cortex.
Yeah.
So when I first heard it, Jeff Tepper, Satya talked about it first, and I was like, what is this? It was so abstract.
Yeah.
And then he said, this is the biggest application since Teams. And I thought, what? Is there like a new big application coming? And then Jeff talked about it and things got more clear. And then I watched Naomi Monipenny and Chris McNulty. And then it got a little bit more clear.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's like the knowledge graph is going out scanning your entire Office 365 tenant for information and then gathering all that like a big enterprise site, like storage for knowledge, connecting people together through the knowledge.
And it's also personalized.
It's personal, it's around you, it's a graph, you know, so everything is around you. And for instance, if you got an email and the email had an acronym like WGPC and the person wanted to know what is that. And when they hover it, they get like this nice card.
I know.
And it said, Whitgirls Podcast acronym.
Of course.
Of course. Yes, the WGPC. That's
not
a Whitgirls Podcast. No. It's the WGPC.
Yeah.
And then when they click on that, they will come into a site where, like a Wikipedia, you know, you can read everything about this acronym, what it is, what it stands for. And our faces would show up in there because we are with girls, podcast. And then our documents also would be displayed in there. So fantastic, AI featured.
Yeah, so everything that...
Sites.
And also it's connected to whatever the user can see as well.
Right, so permission control, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
So it's like gathering everything in the Office 365 in like a SharePoint experience site somehow.
Something that you would do, I mean, desperately developing if you need something that is an onboarding tool for someone.
Ah.
This could be easy for the user because you have a different, I mean, you have a certain role in a company.
Right.
And when you log into that site, you will get everything that is connected to that role, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, just really quick then, moving from Project Cortex to Teams.
Yeah.
The three big things as I can see it, private channels, the pop-out windows, and the noise cancellation, which we're going to need now. Please, Teams, can we have noise cancellation already?
I put something soft around our microphone here.
Oh my God, they are so noisy. I just wrote a blog post around private channels because what's happening behind the scene is that a site collection is created that gets inherits the name from the Teams team where it comes from. What I was a little bit thinking is, why don't you just create a private chat or a private chat group and then share files for OneDrive or something? Why do you need to create like a new small team within your existing team? And then with only a few people, you can only also choose from people within that Teams team. You cannot choose another person from another team. So let's say you are 10 people, you can only choose from those 10 people to create your private channel. And then you would like exclude the others.
Yeah.
And then you can only share conversations and files so far.
Yeah. And some tabs.
groups as well.
Sometimes, yeah. And then you have like a site collection, but we know Office 365 groups in it, so it's regular SharePoint groups inside.
Yeah, because there is no permission around this new folder with a new site collection. So I've also been thinking about it. It's like, first, we're not going to create sub-sites, but this is kind of a site.
It's a sub-site collection.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you can't find it in the admin UI.
No,
yet.
No.
So you have to dig deep in your PowerShell.
You have to PowerShell it to find those private channels. And you know what a customer said to me when I explained this, I demoed this, and they said, can we shut this off, please? We don't want any private channels. They are afraid it's going to be misused. Yeah. So I'm a little bit, I can understand, yes, like we talked about management, maybe one, but why don't they just create a new Teams then, or have a private chat with shared files in there? I'm a little bit split, but at the same time, I can't help thinking that this, by creating a new site collection to a channel, is the way moving forward, having metadata in our Teams instead of folders, because maybe each channel then is connected to its own site collection, but that would produce tons of site collections everywhere, and that would make a total mess also.
But what if you want to have the common metadata in a team?
Exactly, yeah. Or if you want to experience your files from SharePoint, then you have several different locations to go to. Let's say you're a member of one team, but they have, like, if you have 10 private channels, you have 11 site collections behind them. And you want to find a file, you are, which one am I going to go into? Then you need to go through it through Teams to find it easier, I think.
Then we are back to what we've always been talking about, SharePoint and Office 365. It's actually a lot about thinking, so 80% thinking, 20% creating.
Yes. That's true. Okay, we need to round up because my head is spinning from all these people behind us. So next time we will podcast is from Prague, the European SharePoint Conference. And I know this is one of my favorite conferences. And Tracy and Ella, all the people at ESPC, they are doing the best to make our experience the best.
Yeah.
So we look forward to that. And if you want, you can go into sharepointbabe.com and read my blog post before the Prague conference, and follow us on ESPC, and we will report as much as we can, both on social media and on the blog.
Absolutely.
And we will podcast also.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for now. Until next time.
Until next time.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Cheers.
If you like our podcast, we would be so happy if you would spread the episode in any social media. And please go into iTunes or Podcaster and rate us so that more listeners can find us. If you have any feedback or questions, you can reach us on witgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am SharePointBabe and Kristina is Bananism. We are also found on Instagram on the account witgirlspod. All our shows are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Acast, Spotify, Stitcher, and Color 365. Please subscribe if you like our show. The music theme is made by Mikael Weisflog. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers!